Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast. You're on once again with Chizo, powered again by our partners at Code, Code Sports. With me this evening, I have the illustrious Pistol, my friend. I've heard in the grapevine you're starting to get a little nervous, mate, because the Chizo chase down is on fire.
It is. There are some nerves. I have noticed your ranking creep up over the last couple of weeks. You're not very far behind me. I'm creeping up at an incredibly slow pace. I think like 5 weeks ago, I said I'm only moving up like 1,000 at a time, and I've still been doing that. So a 2553 saw me creep up to 11K, and I noticed you just right behind me there at 14K, and you were like 30K behind me, so I'm a bit worried.
Look, you quickly look up your total points so I can see how far behind you.
It's like 50.
25. You're kidding me.
No, it's nothing. Ooh. Off the top of my head, yeah.
I'm right behind it.
Yeah, literally right behind me.
35.268. You reference that. So, yeah, 25.37 for me, up to 14.1K. Slowly rebuilding this year after getting my starting side so incredibly wrong. But I'm pretty happy with the side that's being built, Pistol. I'm doing well in my head-to-head leagues at the moment. So obviously not a perfect team, but slowly kind of drawing back. Is there anything, this is a bit off the cuff here, Pistol, anything surprising with your side the way it sits right now to what you probably expected at the start of the year?
I think
the way you finished it.
It's funny because at the beginning of the season, I thought, well, 35 trades, like easily we'll get to full primo. And I actually got to full primo technically because I had 7 premium forwards about 3 weeks ago. But because of injuries, yeah, I've just not been able to trade one of them to a premium midfielder. So only this week I can finally upgrade Butters, ironically, is probably going to come back to Jack Steele to like finish my side. But I think the interesting part of Supercoach this year is it's more about who you don't have that's costing you points rather than who you do have. I think there's a lot of common players. It's pretty rare for me to go against somebody and have more than like 5 unique players and not just missing like a Laird and a Sicily every week, seeing them as your like uniques against. It just makes me feel like I can't really gain ground, even if I've got, you know, Dawson and Sinclair. Like Dawson and Sinclair for me have matched Stewart and Sicily since like round 6 when I was trading them in for 100K cheaper. They may have even outscored them during that time. But I can't gain ground because Sicily and Stewart were equally as good. And it's just been too large of a hill to, I guess, come back from, which is, I guess, interesting. I don't think many seasons have gone that way where you've had two defenders go 120 plus and not been able to gain ground on the rest of the competition.
Yeah. I think the thing that stands out to me is that, certainly compared to last year, where a lot of things went my way, I certainly haven't had a lot of luck this year, and the 50-50 calls that I've probably ended up making haven't ended up in my favour. A lot of the new kind of role changes that we thought would do well ended up having an adverse effect, taking short, for example. Like, just a lot of the things that I kind of had anticipated coming into the year went completely wrong. And a lot of the guys that I'm upgrading to, as soon as I bring them in, go through periods where they just bang out a 60, having not scored one for the entirety of the year. So, yeah, it's just... I didn't think at this stage of the season I would consider my team complete and still have Cornelio and Brody in my forward line. So, it's certainly a confusing one as opposed to what I thought I might have ended up like. Pristo, we do have some housekeeping that we'll get through quickly. The Dr. Supercoach Cup is down to the 128 final remaining coaches. Pristo into round three, and I have... After, you know, the winning it last year, I have been officially knocked out by Josh, who finished fifth last year. So not only did he beat me in overall rank last year when I finished top 10, he's now knocked me out of a cup that is basically my pride and joy on the shelf at home. And I just want to know, between you and JB, who set the draw up, how did I get such a high seed in the second round? There's some colluding going on.
Didn't you hear? Because you're ranked last season. That's what happens. The good players.
I don't
play
see
the
this
players.
Happening at Wimbledon. I'm suspicious.
You're the you're the Stefanos, and he's the Kyrgios, I guess.
I was acting like Kyrgios when I did the numbers and realised I got kicked out. We've also got the Cancer Council pistol. I noticed that you had to donate this week, and it's a pretty big, momentous time for something that you don't really see too often with your team.
I guess I'll go through the donations then, Chizo. We've got a couple of them this week. First up, JK has donated for an English donut and messing up my VC loop by captaining Clary.
Is that like an English muffin?
English donut, yeah. Not bad, Chizo, not bad. This one's from Pistol. Heard his... very handsome. Second donut ever, and it was Proust who got me in the end. I always thought it would be Hall, which is ironic because I wrote that before knowing what would happen this week. There's still time, and I said there's still time for another. Yep. One step closer to 25K. So that's in reference to the total we've raised, which is 24,530. Very close to 25K mark. We've got Ruben Brooks says, couldn't avoid the Jackson donut and talked up JB's trade-in of Libba over Wits in game day. Sorry, owners. I should know better than to speak of rucks in these troubling and unprecedented times. Thank you,
Ruben,
for the donation. Rough Red says, donutting across the universe, boldly going forward because we can't find reverse. Thanks, Rough Red. Jay Sun.
Did you say boldly going forward?
Did I say? Yeah, boldly. Boldly. Jason Round 15 Donut, thank you for your donation. Turtles Terriers says, damn you, Supercoach Gods. It took to round 16 before you decided to visit me twice. He was also my cup opponent, Chizo, if you're wondering how I got through. Yeah. So
yeah, I was wondering how you got through.
Yeah, my opponent had double donuts. So thank you, Turtles Terriers. Appreciate pushing me through to the cup and also your donation. And to Bo Delmenico says, Deconut, which is quite clever. And thank you very much for your donation. Again, super close to 25K, which is unbelievable given we started the season at just under 18,000, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Just unbelievable.
It's been incredible, the support.
Thank
so
you,
everybody.
Everyone
that, yeah. Pistol, the quickest housekeeping we have done in a while. I want to talk about the most important kind of aspect that has been popping up in the last... It seems like every single week we come to a dilemma of what to do with the injuries that we have in defence. I feel like that's just been a revolving door for us in the last few weeks. Obviously, to go through a few names, we've got Hall, Rich, Houston potentially as well, depending on how he comes back for his knee knock. Am I forgetting anyone from that?
No, I think they're the big ones. I think Flosserman had a 1 week suspension, but probably not doing anything with that. But yeah, lots of defenders out.
Yeah. So I just want to hear your initial thoughts. As someone with Rich, we obviously need to get more information to know the severity of a lot of these injuries. I know at this point in time, I haven't heard exactly what a lot of these guys are doing. I guess your initial thoughts and how many weeks you think is to be considered before we start looking to trade these guys?
It's an interesting question. So Rich, I think so far it's going to be like 1 week and reassess. There's really large breaks between the Brisbane games, which will work in his favour. Fortunately, I think a lot of people have Ware or the Essendon bloke. I'm not even wasn't going to try and pronounce it. I know his name, but I'm not going to say it. People have good cover and you can loophole, I believe, as well. So it's very likely that if he only misses 1 week, you may as well just take the loophole and save the trade, especially because Rich has been in really good form. I mean, he was on like 43 at quarter time or something before he got injured. Yeah. So I think that one's a pretty safe hold. Houston, again, pending results. You know, if it's I think if it's probably a... Let's see, there's eight rounds left. I'd probably say if it's a three-week injury, I would trade two. It depends if you have two playing covers that you can loophole. If you only have one playing cover, I'd probably trade with a two-week injury at this stage of the season, unless you're really low on trade. So that's probably around the four trade mark. If you have less than that and you can get away with a good scoring rookie for 2 weeks, that might be the play. Otherwise, Hall, I mean, what can I say? Hall, he's out. And that's not really too much of a surprise. It's upsetting, but it's not too much of a surprise. So he's going to have to go. Chizo, do you have anyone in mind? I guess I'll break it down into a multi-part question. Who are your top... Money is no objective. You don't have to make any compromises. You can just trade in anyone you want. Who are you getting? And then I'll look at some of the, I guess, value options and see what we can find.
Sure. I think the three that are obviously the standouts, in my opinion, are going to be Dawson, Sinclair and Sicily. They were the three that we had penciled, JB and I, last week as the three that we would ordinarily be looking at in that sort of aspect to finish off the defense in the same sort of scenario. I don't think that's changed. I think what we saw last week, Dawson 144, Sinclair 150, and Sicily 139, has certainly confirmed, in my mind at least, that they're the three prices, no object sort of situation.
Which order would you put them in?
Oh, now you're testing me.
I am.
Probably Dawson, Sicily, Sinclair, because I think that Sinclair has an outside chance of getting tagged again.
Yes, I do too.
Sicily will just keep doing his thing. He's probably around the 115 average. And Dawson, I think, has shown in the last few weeks to have the upside on a good run, and his last 6 or 7 weeks to end the season is phenomenal for Adelaide. So I'm not expecting a huge drop off, and his 5-round average of 126 is exceptional.
Yeah, oh, I totally agree with you. They're the three that I would pick there. It's funny because they're the standouts, and I don't think anyone would say otherwise. And then you've kind of got the next tier down from those in Doherty, and I think Dale is probably finding himself as an option. I mean, he's had way more 110 plus scores than you would think. Just like Peppers, that 110, and came out this week with a 134. Without Caleb Daniel, I mean, we thought he'd have a points increase, but he looked phenomenal again. So I'd feel comfortable going there if you're in that price range. But then we got to drop a little bit lower. I mean, there's some other good prices. People at prices like, you know, the Hewitt or Saad, I guess, but they're a bit more expensive. If we want to drop like well below, is Dacos at 480k still better than people like, I think, Baker, who's 507, Mason Redman has now got a 5-round average of 113, which is pretty insane. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to say Lloyd or Blakey. I think they're clearly worse selections. Or then do you go even cheaper and you take, you know, Pendlebury's low 400, Stephen May is 379,000 after he copped that concussion and, you know, it's basically plummeted his score. And Zorko is probably missing a week, although a week you have to stay away from there. Do any of those guys, I guess, if you're desperately trying to save money, to, you know, take your fashion?
There's a bunch of questions there. I'll start with...
There was like six. It was a very long sentence. Yeah. I apologize.
I'm operating on the assumption that you've got no cash and you've got to get rid of Hall. So let's just take that, for example, that works in with the Nick Daicos situation.
Sure.
I think Nick Daicos is great. I also think that he's quite young and has the chance and the likelihood of tapering off as the season, you know, reaches towards penultimate rounds and things like that, because he is that young player and we see it so frequently. Short, I probably wouldn't be buying into in this new role. He is an 80s to low 90s as a midfielder, and unfortunately we're not going to see him in that defense line for a little while. It doesn't look like it. If I was looking underneath his price, I also like Maynard. Pistol, who seemed to have come into a little bit of form recently, and recommended him last week to a few people. So I think there is some value to be found underneath Hall's price. I also noticed your boy Lucky Whitfield, 96, is his lowest score since being under McVay. So he's had a decent uptick as well. So it's important to know that there are definitely options. I just think the high upside that we thought we were getting with Hall, or that you might get with the alternatives that you might like a 110 plus five round average, I think are probably missing with a lot of these guys. So when you're shopping in that aisle, you just take what you can get. But if you do have a little bit of cash, 20-30K, Baker's not bad, but I just doesn't scream pick me personally. I still think Jack Crisp is a good buy, even though he's had a little bit of a downturn in probably the last month and a half. Personally for me, Dale was someone that I was looking at as probably my prime candidate for trading out Rich if it becomes a longer injury.
Yeah,
on the sidelines for me, just primarily because he didn't take any more kick-ins than he usually does, but without Caleb Daniel there, he may potentially get a little bit more access to the ball, and he's obviously in good form, which is what, you know, we primarily want to be buying into as well.
So there's some other cheapies that I'll just name, because all these players, I guess, have decent history. Salem's down to 446K after having an injury if impacted game, and we know he's got potential to go 90 plus, so that seems like a relatively kind price for someone like him. And you also have Coleman, who a lot of us wanted to start as a mid-pricer at the beginning of the season. He's really come into his own in the last couple of weeks. Like, as an actual footballer, he looks really good. I mean, I expect him to score better with him being the only halfback for Brisbane that's not injured at the moment. But even
Zorko out as well.
Yeah, with Zorko out as well. But even if they're short term, his scoring has been really good. Like, he's basically put out in his last, you know, seven rounds, 88, 104, 86, 70, 99, 87, 118, which again at 437K, you're not paying expecting someone to put out consistent tons. But he's probably really good value, I think, for his scoring output, especially because you get that defensive forward swing, which could be handy if you needed it, you know, later in the season. If you've got Himmelberg, perhaps, who might get it in the next round of DPP changes, there's cover there. But I think we haven't really given a clear answer. And there's a lot of options, to be honest. Mm. I'm not sure exactly which one my favorite is. I do think if you're trying to go really cheap, May isn't a bad option. He's got the kickouts, which raise his floor. So, but I mean, you pay what you get. He's probably the worst option out of all the ones we've said.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
you would go
the cheapest.
Cheaper if you had other things that you were looking to do. Like, this was a part of a two-way deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you've got to get Hall out, but you're also trying to finish your F6, you know? Like, a very common scenario that people are faced with even at this stage of the season. I do agree that there are better cheap options in defense than similar in other lines.
Yeah.
And so you could make the argument that getting Stephen May as a replacement to get, you know, I don't know, like a Greg Clark up to Jack Steele or something like that to finish a midfield who's looking pretty ripe at the moment. Otherwise, the best options in terms of like the Hall and let's say Rich and Zorko are out for 3 weeks, for example, just for argument's sake, they're all more expensive than Hall. Like there's no getting around the fact the guys that you quote unquote want to be picking, you need to have 50k in the bank to really grab someone that you're actually after.
Yeah.
So that let's not hide from that fact.
No, I agree there. And I think just to come around full circle on the Dacos aspect, I do think Dacos is a little bit special. You know, he's been training with the club for, you know, last year as well. So it's not like he's a typical first year player that's like comes out of school and then, you know, plays school footy and then jumps into the draft, gets drafted by a team, and this is first thing. I mean, he's grown up in a footy family. He kind of, you know, knows what it takes to be an AFL footballer. I don't think it's like a coincidence at all that he's put together these unbelievable games in a row, and he's not the type that I think will get rested. I mean, you're right, rookies have volatile games, don't get me wrong, but with Collingwood's upcoming draw, North Melbourne, Adelaide, Essendon, Port Adelaide, I mean,
4 easy wins.
I wouldn't say easy wins, but it's 4 games where he could score very well, and that's 4 of the remaining, you know, 7 games. So I think that if you've got him now, there's every chance that he outscores somebody like Short on the run home, and I wouldn't be trading him.
There's a few teams I'm very jealous of posting in Rate My Teams asking for advice, and they have him as the defense and midfield like cover. As like D7 and M9. I'm just like,
I mean, look, if you didn't have like Dawson and you could afford to get him to Dawson or Sicily, would you entertain that trade then?
Oof. That is a great question. It would depend on the remaining structure of your sides, the cover that you have, because if he's on your field at this stage, I still think you would be trying to upgrade these kind of guys. If he's your cover, I wouldn't be bothered moving pieces around to try and... maybe if that pushes Short to D7, that might be important. I think that's team specific. I can't really give it.
Yeah, I think I would upgrade one, if he's on my D6. I'd hold him a week for his, you know, to get some extra cash, and then I'd probably look to trade him to one of those big guys if you don't know him, just because I think they're like 15-20 points per game better.
Yeah.
It's probably worth it.
And just more to your point, you did mention looping, but I'll just cover it again. If you've got Ware and D'Ambrosio, which a lot of us do in defense, and you've got Rich, it's going to be really easy to loop. GWS play on the Saturday night. You can put the emergency on Ware, and if you're happy with his score, leave Rich on the field. And if not, you can throw D'Ambrosio on to see if you can get a decent score. So I think if it's a one-weeker with these guys in the Rich or maybe even a Houston vein, for example.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A little bit more difficult to loop, but I think it's a really easy option to play some of these defensive guys because I think the cover there is probably slightly better than what we've seen in other lines. I don't know about you, Pistol, but I spent probably 2 hours choosing between Bazo and Sitsis from Gold Coast, only for them both to score 26 and want to like that those 2 hours of my life back. but I'd be more comfortable playing like those two defensive options for a week or two and holding Rich to come back, who's been in good form, as opposed to some of the other lines where our choices are, no, we need to use this trade. We cannot play Bazo on field.
All right. Nope. I think we've well and truly covered that one, Chizo. What do you got up next for us?
All right. Next question. We've kind of touched on it a little bit. I want to know from you, at what stage of this season and, you know, trades remaining, cover that we have, talk to me about optimizing our side. We've talked about finishing and getting full primo. Now talk to me about that, the thing that we kind of often overlook coming into the end of the year, which is when we optimize this team. We're looking for players, looking for pieces of that jigsaw puzzle that probably aren't as good as what they could be, and what ways we can use to kind of really strengthen our final sides.
Yeah, that's a great question. Look, it's with all of the answers, every side is different. But the earlier that you optimize, the more benefit you're going to get, because you're getting rid of a terrible scorer for a better scorer, and the more weeks you have to recoup those, I guess, benefits or costs or whatever it might be, you're going to gain a larger advantage by doing it sooner. So definitely the answer is like when to optimize is like as soon as possible. The key thing is like at what point do you stop optimizing? How many trades left? Everyone's got different risk tolerances. I think as a standard for everyone, like I feel like sitting on 4 trades at this stage of the year for injuries feels safe. Like that feels like a good amount. I mean, we've just come from, you know, more injuries every week. 4 in the last 7 rounds does seem like it's okay. I think if, you know, for every 2 rounds that go from now on, you could probably burn an extra trade if you wanted to. My personal risk tolerance, I'm happy. I'm doing Butters to Steel and going down to 3 trades, and that's where I'm going to sit for the rest of the season. I'm not going to optimize after that. And if you've got more trades than that, then I would definitely optimize and try and get an advantage over the competition by just having a better team than other people who aren't in a position to optimize. I mean, not everyone is going to be able to get in someone like a Jack Steele or be able to ditch someone like Short if you are able to get the combo of, you know, Dawson, Sinclair, Sicily, Doherty, Hewitt, no Dale or Crisp or whatever you've got. You know, you can really get ahead of people. In the forward line, a lot of people don't have Libba, you know, if you're able to optimize there. So there's plenty of ways to get an advantage over other people, Chizo. If you are looking to optimize, though, is there anyone in your team or common players that you think would be the ones that you would be happy to cull first, Chizo?
I think it's a couple of the guys that have had role changes that are and certainly tapering off. I think Short is one that I'm more than happy to hold, and I will personally hold him just because of a few things. He's not necessarily killing me week to week, averaging 85 to 90. It's annoying,
yeah,
but I probably wouldn't burn a trade. And a lot of us don't have the cash to get him up to someone important anyway, like right now. Like at 480, I don't have the cash in the bank to get him to someone that's going to be significantly better. So he is a weak spot in my team that I would like to upgrade, but I think you mentioned that you are happy to stop at 3. I currently have 3 trades, and it's similarly for that reason, because I would need to probably use a second one to actually generate cash to get him up to someone worth it. It just, it's leaving me in a really difficult situation. And I think that's the problem with optimizing our side. A lot of things need to align. A lot of planets need to align where the player just happens to be a really easy grab from one of our players. I think if you're using 2 trades to optimize 1 position in your side at this late in the season with few trades, I think that's getting a little bit... I'm not super sure I can support that at this point in time.
I think, as with all these questions, the biggest thing is like how many trades you have. I mean, trading Short to Sicily sounds amazing, but if it's going to leave you with 2 trades, then that's that sounds far from amazing to me. I mean, you might gain you might gain 80 points, but then it takes 1 week for one of your players to be out and you have no cover and you've lost that 80 points in a single week, and then it's not worth it. I mean, I think it's hard to not trade. Like, we've had 35 trades. We've been spoiled with trades. We've been used to trading every week. It's hard to just sit on your hands and think, you know what, I'm done now. Like, I'm just going to wait out the season and see what happens. But it's okay. Everyone take a deep breath. It's part of the season. We'll get through it together. There's players like Cripps that have, you know, essentially fallen off now. The wheels are off, and he's got a five-round. I think he's got a five-round average of 102, a three-round average of 90. And would I love to trade him to Jack Steele? I would totally love to trade him for Jack Steele, but I wouldn't go down to like two trades. I do see some people doing that. What, Cripps is going to average 105, Steele's going to average 115 on the run home, but at what costs? It's not worth it. Like, for 7 weeks, that's 70 points. You really want to be doing these maths and thinking I'm gaining 100 plus points on a player like that. And who's to say Cripps doesn't have a Petrarca-esque game in his run home and just come out with like a 180?
Yeah.
Could be this week against West Coast.
Yeah, it's a good thing you mentioned that, because I can go Cripps to Steele in one trade and leave him with two trades this week. So I'm learning as we're talking here, mate.
I think that's one. This stage of the season is always really difficult. I mean, different rules for everyone, right? Like, if you're in the top 100 and you're trying to desperately, you think you're not much of a chance to finish in the top 10, I mean, there's two ways to play. There's one, you just want as many injuries as possible and you to have more trades than everyone so that you can trade your way out of it. Or you think, well, I've got the trade, so I'm going to be ultra aggressive and get a better team than everyone else in the top 100. And you go that pathway. And both are valid ways of winning. It's just, are you feeling lucky?
Yeah. So what you're saying is I shouldn't trade Rich to Bailey Dale and Cripps to Steele this week and leave myself with one trade.
I would highly recommend you not to do that.
But I've got a 27-16 projected pistol.
Really? That's pretty good. That must feel nice.
But as we know, these projections are like way overblown and never happen.
I would like to hit my projection, that's for sure. At least 1 week. Just 1 week, please, Super Coach Gods.
No. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I'm excited. This will be my first week that I have 22 premiums because I've just had injuries every single week. Well, I've jinxed it now, haven't I?
You had 23 last week. You couldn't play it on field.
Butters, and I had to trade Proust. He finally did me in. That was unfortunate. And yeah, English back. I'm looking forward to it.
Don't make me tap the sign, Pistol. Don't make me tap the sign.
All right, let's move on. What have you got? What have you got next for us?
That pretty much wraps up a lot of the strategic talk. We've been given some feedback that we don't go into too much depth in the VC and C segment of the podcast. And I think that's for very good reason, Pistol. It's that we've got the likes of Oliver, who has a six-round average of 147 and three scores above 168 this year. Like, is there any... you know, premiers last year, they play a few early games. Is there anyone better to VC this year than Oliver?
No. You have to do it right
there
now.
Isn't.
His current form, I've never seen anything like this. He's playing for a Brownlow, and he's going to win it.
we literally talked about it on the podcast last week, to not chase the Doggies and the Lions players, because, yes, you're likely to get a 130 from someone, but you're going to be missing out on Oliver, who's going to probably hit his projection of 193 it was last week. So it's like, do you want to miss out on the option of chasing Oliver, or do you want to be faced with the scenario where you're playing the smart thing, you're going to take the 120 that Bont got, and then watch everyone else laugh as they get another 60 points on top of you? I think the really easy decision, particularly for the weeks coming home, is almost a perma Oliver VC on the weeks that allows that.
This week in particular, you got two really good options with Lockie Neal and Laird, both of which love to play their opponents. So if you own either of them, which I would say everyone does, at least owns one of them, then you've got your captaincy and vice captaincy sorted this week. Neil in particular, last couple against Essendon, 198, 157, 157, 140. I mean, come on.
Huge.
Come on. It's just, these are ridiculous scores. So I think I wouldn't really
want
to stray.
Scores really well at the G2. At the Gabba, let me point out. He is on fire at the Gabba this year. I'll read you in reverse order. 135, 123, 164, 123, 117, 105, and 140. And now he's coming up against his favourite team to play against. Like,
it's ridiculous.
Really easy, really, really easy Oliver into Neil this week. And we don't... I think we can get a little bit blasé with these sort of scenarios where it's like, let's not overthink it. This is the best combo. Let's just do it. And so I certainly agree that we can probably be a little bit flippant with it, but it's just, let's not overthink it because we're going to get a good score out of it just sticking to the safe option.
Yep. No, I'm totally with you there. Cheeser, before we move on, moving on to a different topic before we finish up the podcast, just a quick chat about the forwards. In particular, I've noticed some people are asking if they should upgrade and grab Harry Himmelberg at 545k and if he's the real deal. I mean, I'm a Himmelberg owner, so
I should be asking you.
I mean, feel free if you would like to, but yeah, it's a case of what would you do now if you didn't own him and you were looking at needing to, buy an F6.
I like it. I think that there is still the potential that he's going to be moved around. Every single week we get a comment from the coach saying, we like him there, but we're not totally set, and, et cetera, et cetera. But I think we've seen in the last month that he's become integral to the way that they structure up down back. He's taking the kick-ins. He's going to have that low floor. There was a question in Slack about whether he was going to get DPP. I don't think he's played enough games in that role. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pistol, to be eligible. I think he has to play something like 11 games in that role.
No, just 11 games in total. So he's played enough games to be able to get DPP. It's just if he gets past the 35% threshold, which I would love him to do. It just depends if Spike is going to give him 100% defensive time, in the next couple games, or if it's going to split between ruck and forward, which is often given a third quarter fourth quarter. I think he'll get there, but I'm not 100% sure if he gets there.
Well, this is the last round. This is the final round that's going to add towards his total. It'll be his 7 of 17 games where he's taken a kick out, indicating he's been in that down back.
You'd think
role.
He would get there, but given if he plays 100% forward this game, he might not. So
it might kill it.
We'll have to wait and see. But look, he's been playing majority defender. I say that because this week was one of the only weeks where he's played four quarters as a backman. And when he's in that role, he's an incredible scorer. Like as I'd said, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, he's Sicily-esque. In that defensive role. So I do think he's a really good trade-in. I mean, if you can afford Libba for 30K more, I think Libba's a better trade-in. I mean, Libba's got a 5-run average of 118. He's scoring out of this world. But Himmelberg, also really good. If you're on a budget, Chizo, some other names of players that have just been scoring really well. Rosie at 480K. I know we spoke about him earlier in the season, but his scores have not been too bad. 5-run average of 100, 3-round of 105. It's not like I don't think it's going to... I mean, he has...
It's fine.
I think it's fine. I don't think it's like this amazing hidden gem of a pick, but his scores have been quite consistent, since round 6, basically. He's had one real low score of 46. Most of the rest are above 80. And his last five have been 106, 76, 103, 113, and 98. So not bad, not amazing. Again, you get what you pay for. Would I prefer him than Heaney? Yes, I would. And that doesn't really say much. and then you've probably got some of the more bargain basement Geelong players like the Duncan and the Hawkins type, where if you're desperate for money, you could probably still go there and... I don't think I would be scraping the barrel anymore.
You don't
anymore
want
lower.
To go there, but you could go there.
Yes, that's the perfect way of saying it. I don't think I'd be scraping the barrel further down than that. I don't think anything good is going to come from that.
yeah. Yeah, I think I tend to agree. I think there's a really clear, probably, half dozen in the forward line. I noticed that you were on camp get rid of Cornelio. Has that changed since the new coach has come in? We've been predicting the downfall in the last few weeks, and he still seems to be going fairly okay.
Well, look, a lot of things went right for the Cornelio owners. I mean, Perryman came into the midfield as a leading midfield, and then Perryman came out with injury. So Cornelio's been having a really good role, but unfortunately, I mean, it's so hard to say, yeah, just get him when Hopper is now coming back. On top of Taranto just coming back, I don't know. Like, it's Kelly's been playing really well lately in the midfield as well. I think he's still he's been a don't buy, don't sell for like the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'd probably be still sitting in that camp. I mean, obviously non-owners are hoping that Hopper comes and Cornelio gets shoved as, you know, forward for the rest of the season. But even so, he's still been scoring really well. So What can you do? Don't buy, don't sell. It's still rather Libra at the same price.
Okay. I think that sums it up really well. Like, what I'm seeing is like going from like 11, 5, 3, 20, 23% CBAs to new coach 59, 63, 58, 56, 85, 82.
Yeah, it's huge. So the last couple weeks.
As someone that owns Cornelio, I really don't want it to be a drop off that people are predicting. But yeah, certainly in terms of that optimization thing, Pistol, I think if those people still have him, like I think that's been fantastic. Are there anyone, just to cycle back to the optimizations, do you have any forward players that you think...
to ditch?
Other than to ditch. I know we've got Butters as like a really obvious... forward. It seems like one of those areas that has, you know, Dunkley, Libba, Bont. There's like a handful of players that are like really obvious. Kind of like, you know, we've got Dawson, Sicily in the back line. We've got a couple of those in the forward lines. The likes of Heaney, Butters, these guys in the forward line, are they along the optimization path for you as well? Because that's, we talked about Short, we talked about Cripps. I just realized we haven't talked about anyone in the forward line.
Yeah, if you have an underperforming F6, so I'm essentially talking about anyone who's doesn't have that 100 plus potential, there's enough of them, you know, the English, Bont, Libba, Dunkley, Will Brody, Parker, even Himmelberg, Cornelio, like there's enough of these guys that if you can get one of them at F6, like that would be ideal if you're just optimizing your team, because there's quite a big drop off. Like the difference between having, you know, Parker at F6 versus having a Rosie at F6 is relatively significant as well. So if you've got the funds and you got the trades to make those optimizations, I would also do that. But that might not gain you as many points as something like, you know, a Short to a Sicily or a Cripps to a Steel would.
Okay. Well, let me throw one last question along these lines. You've got Short D6, you've got Cripps M8, and you've got Heaney F6. Where are you optimizing first?
Heaney. So I think Heaney has... Definitely Heaney. I was just, it's much harder between Short and Cripps. So that's where my mind was going. I was like, oh, then it would be. And I'm like, I actually don't know.
Yeah.
Of which one would you trade first between Cripps and Short?
Definitely Short. I think Cripps still has the upside, whereas I think we're pretty clear with Short that role change has been really negative for him. I certainly agree in terms of Heaney. I think that was a really good question in terms of optimization. I was just when I realized that we'd missed it, I just wanted to cover it. So, yeah, Pistol, do you have anything else to add? Any questions from Slack that you think need addressing before we get out of here?
Not specifically. I think some people are asking about rookies, but it's this stage of the season. It's just about any rookie that's playing is a good rookie.
Correct.
So, it doesn't really matter. Too much. I mean,
we only usually need him for a week. Usually, like, I needed Bazo this week just to get me through, and then I've got cover. I think everyone's in the same scenario. That if you need someone on field just for that week, it doesn't really make too much of a difference.
I like to take DPPs if I can that are named over non-DPPs. I mean, Tunstall from Brisbane looked really good, but is a pure mid. I mean, if there was another midfielder that was named, let's say Carmichael from Collingwood just happens to get named this week and is a mid-forward, like I'd still take an unknown mid-forward that's playing over Tunstall, because I don't think many of these rookies have like this amazing job security that will, you know, last until the end of the season anyway. So it's almost like renting.
But the DPP is there every week.
Exactly. Yeah, you're more like renting a player for now. And the players that have the good job securities are the ones that, you know, we picked up a couple of weeks ago. The ones that we're getting now, it's a lot of trial players for teams that are either lower on the ladder and they're just, you know, testing to see what players can do, or it's top of the team, top of the ladder, and they're just coming in for an injured player and then they're back out. It's pretty rare for like a top four side to blood a new player and then them blast all the way throughout the final series. I mean, Bowie last season was obviously very good because he played every game this season as well, but I would say that's somewhat of a rarity. So I wouldn't be expecting too much from the rookies coming through nowadays.
Cool. Pistol, thanks for sitting down with me, mate. I don't know, it's been a while since you and I have got to sit down and talk Supercoach. I've really enjoyed it.
It has been a while, and we've managed to do it in not too long as well. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I have enjoyed it nevertheless.
All right, community, if you do want to get in touch with us, I did enjoy the influx of questions I got on Twitter after I said last week that no one talks to me. You can find me at Cheezo with a Z_DRSC. The main page is at Dr_SC, Pistol at Pistol_DRSC, and JB at JB_DRSC. Any questions that you may have, Pistol, thanks again, and community, we'll talk to you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.